Please be seated. This morning, today, is Pentecost, and we're kind of stepping out of our Year of the Bible series that we've been working our way through to recognize Pentecost, because Pentecost is such a key moment in the history of the church, of God's people. In fact, sometimes we call it the birth of the church. Those first followers of Jesus in the center of Jerusalem, bursting out into the streets, filled with God's Spirit. But today, we are not going to leave behind the rest of the Bible. We're going to pull together this morning the Old Testament. We're going to pull together the New Testament. We're going to bring in this morning the traditions of the temple. We're going to bring together some of the symbols of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost, water and fire. And we're going to do all of that through the medium of guttering. Oh yes. This could go very wrong. Or it could be a lot of fun. Either way, we've got towels. Right. So, I want to expand a little bit to help us understand Pentecost on our gospel reading that we just heard from the book of John, where Jesus stands up in the temple on the day of the great festival. You see, there were, at that time, I'm just going to pass this down. Fiona, would you just hold on to that end for us at the moment? They're lovely. There were three great festivals of Judaism. There was Passover. There was Pentecost, which was the 50 days after Passover where they celebrated the harvest. And there was another one called the Festival of the Tabernacles, or the Shelters. And that was the festival. Ali, I'm just going to pass this to you. Would you mind just holding on to that for the moment there? Lovely. And the Festival of the Shelters was the one where they commemorated when the people of Israel left Egypt. And so they made little shelters to remind themselves of how they traveled through the wilderness. And the Festival of the Shelters, I'm just going to pass this one along. Can I pass this to you, Rachel and Jock? They're lovely. Festival of the Shelters was the big fun one, if you will. Not that the others weren't fun, but in Jewish tradition and in the writings of the time, they used to say that the great day of the Festival of Shelters was the really, really exciting one. In fact, they used to say, if you've not seen, and there was a particular day, and there's a particular name for it, which I'm not even going to try and pronounce in the Hebrew, but basically it's the day of the pouring of the waters. And they said, if you've not experienced that day, you have not experienced joy. Ray, could I ask you to hold on to that for us for the moment there? Lovely. If you've not experienced the pouring out of the waters, you have never experienced joy. There you are. Thank you, Bethany. Lucy, if I could give you that one there. Because it was such a big event. You've got hundreds and thousands of people gathered in Jerusalem for these festivals. That's why when in the Acts reading we heard about the day of Pentecost, you had lots of people come for that festival too. People from all over the known world, of all kinds of languages and traditions, and they came, and that's where God poured out his Spirit. And it was like that at the Festival of Shelters, on the day of the outpouring of the water. Because what would happen was this. They would go together, they would gather at the temple, all of the people, they would crowd in to, I guess, the temple courtyards. It was a big, yes, sorry Michael, if I could give you that one there. They would gather in the temple courtyards, crowding in together, and the priest, the high priest, would go, and he would take a large jug of water, it was a large empty jug at this stage, and they would process that. Sorry Bobby, could you take that one? And then Myra and Dick, you have that one. I think that's probably all right there. And they would gather, and the priest would process with this jug. They would go down to the pool of Siloam, which is a pool that we hear about elsewhere in the New Testament, because Jesus does some healings there. It is a natural pool. And they would go down, and they would take this jug, and they would fill it full of water at the pool. And then they would process up, carrying this jug of water, surrounded by trumpeters. We haven't got any trumpeters this morning. Very sad. And they would process around the altar, around the outskirts of the courtyard, singing psalms of praise and glory, the great hallelujah psalms. They would process, and it was massive. It was the most exciting thing that you could possibly imagine. And at the end of it, they would take this water, this jug of water, this large jug full of water, and the priest would pour it out on the ground. But I don't want to make a mess in church, so I brought some guttering with me. If you would try and attach your gutterings together, if we start from this end, so if you put yours underneath each time as we go along, there we are. And hopefully by the end we've got a bucket at the back, which Jane, our lovely verger, is going to be carrying, that's right. So make sure the bit of guttering goes underneath the bit of guttering in front of it. And science will hopefully be our friend. Gravity, eh? Everyone on this side is now going, yes, I chose really well this morning. But just beware, the next time there's an all-age service, I might do it on this side. So you're never safe. And if we've got it working right, and if gravity is our friend, this water will flow like a stream of living water from the front to the back of the church. And if it all goes wrong, we've got two little towels at the back. Because you see, our gospel reading talked about this bit. It didn't talk about the guttering. Jesus did not mention the guttering. Jesus talked about the streams of living water. You see, the bit when Jesus turns up is at the very high point of the festival. If we're all very quiet, can we hear water trickling into the bucket? Hey! We'll let those last bits flow through. It's either raining outside or we genuinely have a bucket working with water. Now, hold the where you are at the moment, because this is what Jesus was talking about. Jesus, you see, turned up in the temple on that big high day when the priest was going to pour out the water. And he said to them, streams of living water are going to flow, not from a jug at the front of the temple. Not from any kind of fancy ritual or observance in a building. Not from any one place at any one time, but streams of living water are going to flow from the hearts of the believers. Jesus was talking not about a tradition, not about a ritual. He was saying God is going to do something even bigger. This was the most exciting thing that the people of Israel saw each year. This was their high point. But Jesus was saying, do you know what? There's going to be something even better. And I think that's enough water. So we can gradually and carefully remove these bits of guttering. And I will collect them from you while I continue to talk. Because this is the key. See, this is what God was doing at Pentecost. He was taking the tradition that kind of spoke of a particular way of doing it, and he was revealing a brand new and exciting truth. Thank you, Kathy. And the truth was this, that you didn't have to be in Jerusalem on that one day of the year to get those streams of living water. You didn't have to be in a particular place at a particular time to get the good things that God was doing. In fact, now, through Jesus, something new was going to be happening, and something new was going to be better than everything that had gone before it. And those things that were new was this. God's Holy Spirit, life-giving water, that thing that powers everything that is good, that thing which speaks of hope, that thing that speaks of life, that thing that speaks of peace and grace and mercy and forgiveness and new life, that was all going to be available for everybody. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how tall you are or how short you are. It doesn't matter how far you've traveled. It doesn't matter how good you are at doing things. God says to all who want it, I will give you my streams of living water to give you life. And that is what Pentecost is. Each one of us has that opportunity. If we ask God, We trust God. We know He gives to each one of us from who we are in the very core of our being. He will pour out His stream of living water. We don't need to be in a church or a temple. We don't need to be on a Sunday morning. We don't need to be in Israel or Jerusalem or Horsham or St. Mary's. Wherever we are, God says, "My Holy Spirit is for you." And God's Holy Spirit is given so that we can witness, so that we can share, that we can go out from here taking those streams of living water and show to the world around us a better story. A story that is not about hatred, a story that is not about fear, a story that is not about anything except God loving people and offering for them forgiveness. So we as a church need to pray for that Holy Spirit so that we get filled up, so that we go out and for the rest of the week, every day, everywhere we go, that we will be like those streams of living water poured out richly, gloriously, life-givingly. This is what God invites us to through Pentecost. And this is our prayer. Let's pray now. Loving Father, thank you that your good news is better than anything else. That your words of hope and life through Jesus are our hope, are our plan, are your way that you're going to transform the world. And so we pray that we might be part of that, that you might fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might live for your glory and witness to your truth and share your love. Give us your Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, so that we might be all that you call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.